The scripture today is from the book of Psalms, 77th Psalm, verses 12 or 11 to 20. Listen to the words of King David. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What gods are so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled. Clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. The arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The word of the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the New Testament. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Hear now these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope is for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our consolation. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He rescued us from so deadly a peril. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again. As you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. Here ends our second reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for all the words of your Holy Scripture, in particular the ones that we have heard read this morning. As we ponder these words, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. I thank Heather for mentioning the crosses on my wall, and you're all welcome to go visit them, and they are all crosses that carry a memory for me. I was thinking of my various memories of the past this week, and thinking particularly that a couple of years ago, I drove by our old house in Naperville, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. Like those crosses on the wall, that house holds special memories for me. And I found the experience of seeing the old house and the old street, we were on a cul-de-sac actually, to be both pleasant and disheartening at the same time. The house, it looked much the same as it did when we left. Same blue siding, same front door, same garage. And yet, it was so much different than I remembered. The little trees that were in our yard were now big trees. The landscaping that we had tended so carefully was replaced by different landscaping. The big open backyard of ours that opened into the neighbors' open backyards, creating a great big park feeling in our backyard, well, they were all fenced in now. I tried to imagine, as I was there in front of that house, imagine what our life was like in that old house, and I found it difficult. The memories that I had in my head did not jive with what I was seeing there. The house, the street that had shaped me and my family was not the same. And I felt very much like a sightseer just passing by. What I remembered clashed with what now was. They say you can't go back, and I'm finding that to be more and more true. My old high school, remember high school, right? You spend 4 years there, maybe more. My old high school is now a grocery store. I lived in a fraternity house in college. My old fraternity house is now a parking lot. Things change, and yet my memories stay the same. I learned recently that my old coach from high school is now in palliative care, and all I have left are the memories. Christian author Catherine Butler writes about this disconnect between memory and current reality when she wrote, "When we look to the past for our identity, such reminiscences can arouse a troubling sense of displacement. Memories leave stark imprints, but rarely can we preserve the vibrancy of their initial impact. The buildings we remember crumble, the mentors we esteem stoop with age, the burdens of life humble us, even while we long to revisit cherished moments and to reclaim abandoned dreams. In a real way, we trust our memories to anchor our lives, and yet just as often, memories prove to be a mirage that disappears when we try to chase them down. We cherish our memories, but if we try to relive them, well, then our memories usually fail us." Butler goes on to write, "Clinging to the past leaves us hollow when we forget the one who infuses our moments with meaning. Memory was meant not only for private wanderings into forgotten shadows, but also to remind us who God is and what he's done for us. When we journey into those memories, we cultivate understanding of our identity that far outshines wistful nostalgia." And perhaps she is right. Memories anchored in God and God's mighty works are the memories that give us meaning, have permanence. Remembrances are an important part of the biblical story. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, we have the story of Moses, who on his deathbed entreats the people of Israel, whom he has led through the desert for 40 years, to take care. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart in the days of your life. Moses' instructions come from his own memories of leading his people out of slavery, of parting the seas, and of guiding them through the wilderness. And he has also seen that people's memories are short. How quickly the people chased after golden idols when his back was turned. It is that story that sets the stage for our psalm this morning, for it is another reminder of the role and memory serves in our faith. The psalmist declares, in the words that John read, I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. The psalmist goes on to praise the work of God in the Exodus story, the story of Moses leading the people out of Egypt, by describing the waters trembled when they saw you, and how the clouds poured out water and the skies thundered with God's arrows flashing on every side, all in leading the people of Israel on the path to freedom. It was this mighty act of God that formed the basis for the psalmist's praise. It was the memory of God's past work that not only was cause for the psalmist's worship, but reassurance. Reassurance that for the psalmist that God could do all that and was capable of doing all that for his own problems. The hope that manifests in memory is most gloriously revealed when we remember the cross. Again, going back to the cross. You'd think we'd coordinated this, didn't you? The words of Jesus at the Lord's Supper point us to those memories, the words that we can read on this table every Sunday in remembrance of me. These words that were spoken and re-spoken in the simple act of sharing bread and juice, it is in these words that we are invited to recall what Jesus has done for us, and behind that, all that God has done for creation. Each Sunday is a reenactment. Each Sunday is a reenactment of what God has done for us and forms the basis of our lives as disciples of Jesus. In worship, we remember, and in remembering, we become one with God. Butler also wrote that memory was meant not only for private wanderings into forgotten shadows, but also to remind us who God is. And I think Butler is right. Our best memories are the ones infused with God. My time in that Naperville house was a time of growth for me and my family, a time when God's love surrounded our household and helped us through those challenging years of early family life and early ministry. That old fraternity house at college where I spent many a late hour talking faith with my fraternity brother, Alan, who would also go on to become a Presbyterian minister. And that old high school, which is now a grocery store, was part of a time where my faith in God was forged and the very foundation of my call to ministry was set. And maybe this is what the past is all about, what our memories are all about. They are not just there to foster nostalgia. They're given to us by God, who wants us to use our memories as a tool of faith. We are called to remember God, his character, his provision, his marvelous deeds, as told in the Bible and as told amongst each other. We are called to remember God in our own lives. And when we review our memories with an eye to God's work, what we remember suddenly becomes something new. They take on new depth, new meaning, and expands our understandings of ourselves, of our world, and of God. So I would encourage you to try this spiritual exercise this week. Whenever you have an old memory triggered this week, and it might be triggered by seeing an old photograph, or it might be triggered when you drive by a certain building, or it might be triggered by an email from an old friend, I invite you to pause a few moments to savor that memory. Try to remember what things looked like then, what you looked like then. Try to remember what happened in that memory and what you did at the time. Try to remember what you felt at that moment and what caused you to feel that way. And then, as you savor that memory, ask yourself where God is in that memory. Ask yourself what your relationship was with God at that time. Maybe you were an active disciple. Maybe you were in a doubting phase. Maybe you hadn't yet discovered that love that God had for you. But whatever your relationship was with God in that time, ask yourself, where was God in that memory? I'll bet as often as not you'll discover that God was somewhere in that memory. God was at work in what was happening. So give it a try this week and let me know what you discover. It is in such spiritual work that God graces our memories. And out of that grace comes the foundation for our faith. It is out of such memories that we can find the strength to see through our present trials and tribulations. Paul, in the passage I read from 2 Corinthians, reveals how God's past work sustains us as it sustained Paul in his situation. He writes, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." And then Paul goes on to say, "He rescued us from so deadly a peril and will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again. He who rescued us, on him we have set our hope." This is the foundation of our memories, and may it be the foundation of our faith as well. Amen.